morning. I'm thrilled to be with you this morning. Your pastor asked me some time ago if I would preach today. I thought he was going on vacation. Instead, he's right here on the front row. Talk about pressure this morning. I've enjoyed his preaching. I love Matt, Jesse, getting to know him. This church has everything going for them good, and I hope you appreciate that. And don't count this against them this morning, okay? And you're wondering what this morning. This is a pulpit. And that means those of us who are challenged ministerially have to use notes. We're not like your pastor. He's an amazing person. And I would rather hear him preach any day than me. But I'm glad to be with you. My sermon title this morning, as we look at this and look at some scripture, is "Within Me, Christ in Me, I Can Make a Difference." With Christ in me, I can make a difference. Say that with me. With Christ in me, I can make a difference. I'm going to be reading this morning from John 2, 15 through 25. This is where Jesus reinstates Peter. It's after the resurrection. He appears the third time to the disciples. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. And very truly, I tell you, when you're young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him? What's he doing back there, you know? What about him? Let's forget about me. Let's look at him." And Jesus looked at him and said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You're just to follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said that if you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. The other scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6, 7, and 10. It says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be setting your hearts on evil things. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel." Paul was saying here, don't let yourself go down the road of complaining and grumbling. The disciples were confused about what had been going on. Even with the resurrection, they still hadn't grasped at all what was taking place. I want to give you a little bit of the background on the scripture that I didn't read in that chapter, and I want to encourage you when you get home today to sit down as a family and read it. I want to encourage you children to look and see if you can find all the threes that's there. This is a scripture filled with threes, and see how many you can find. But we look at this, as Jesus appeared to his disciples, his resurrection had been completed, and we look here and we see him coming to his disciples in an unusual way. Now, when things are a little bit confusing, don't we like to find something normal that we do or something that we can hold on to make things feel good? And so Peter had said to the disciples, "I'm going fishing." That's what they knew. That's where they came from. And Peter was still reeling from his denial of Jesus Christ. And he was still trying to figure out all of that. And Jesus had appeared and he told the women at the tomb, "You go and tell the disciples and be sure and tell Peter because I want him there too." This is all about Peter here. Peter should have liked it, but he thought bad things were going to happen. He thought, "Oh dear, they're going to criticize me. He's going to talk to me and he's going to straighten me out." And Jesus said, "I'm the God of second chances. I'm the God that will give you forgiveness. I'm not here to put you down." So they went out fishing all night long, and they didn't catch a thing. Jesus was standing on the shore, and he said, "What did you catch?" Now, this is an unusual miracle, because the fishermen said, "We didn't catch anything." That's the first miracle there in that story. And Peter was feeling like, "I can't even fish anymore. I'm not worth anything." And Jesus appeared on the shore. You never know where Jesus is going to appear to us in our life. And as he appeared, he stood there and he waited and he said, "Did you catch anything?" And they said, "No." And Peter said, "Lord, is that you?" And Peter, in typical Peter style, put on his tunic and jumped in the water and swam to him. And as he swam, it said the others followed in the boat. And when he got there, Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. The same Jesus Christ that had washed their feet before the crucifixion. He had the fish ready and he said, "Bring some more fish." He had already told them to let down their net in the deep water on the other side of the boat. And they caught 153 fish, so big that they could hardly move it. It almost turned the boat over. And so they came and he fed them breakfast. And after he had fed them breakfast, he looked at Peter and commissioned him for the job that he had called him to do when he first called him from fishing. There comes a time in our lives when we have to get over ourselves and start listening to Christ. And Peter was learning that lesson. Jesus is the kind of leader we should all desire to be. It's not about me. We don't have yesterday. We don't have tomorrow. We only have today. And we need to make the most of it. Gratefulness is a discipline that we need to develop. We need to praise God every day. We praise God here in church on Sunday, but we need to do that same praising every day. You get my age, you're just thankful to get out of bed in the morning. Be able to get up and praise Jesus and say, "Thank you, Lord. It's another day, and we're going to have a good time today. You lead me wherever you want." We need to keep our eyes on the goal and don't let Satan get our eyes on other things. I believe that in this day and age in which we live, the church must stand up and we have to let our voice be heard, because if not, there's those that's getting ready to silence us. God has a purpose for all of us, but he had an even bigger purpose for Peter at that time. It says in the scripture, "The people love me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Sometimes in our lives and in our churches, we've done the same thing for so long that we get the same results, breeding familiarity. And so kingdom living and works become meaningless, and we can't let that happen. This is a striking scene. We see a bunch of fishermen. We see that Peter's figured out this is the Christ. And once he's discovered and fixed breakfast, Jesus says, "Now, Peter, come over here by the fire, and we're going to talk." It's really neat here. And one of the things, it's a little thing you find in the scripture. There was a fire of burning coals. In the Greek language, that is anthrakia. That means there was a fire burning with lots of coals on the shore. It's only used one other place in the Bible. Where do you think that might be? When Peter denied Jesus, he was standing, and it says that he was standing by coals burning on a fire. He knew that Jesus knew what he had done. He had told Jesus, "I love you more than any of the other disciples." Jesus was going to ask him some questions. He said, "I would never deny you." And he denied him three times. And Jesus told him this would happen. And as he was denying Christ and even swearing, Jesus walked by and heard him and looked at him. And how his heart must have broken. As he denied him, he thought, "I'm guilty. I have an eyewitness," and it was Jesus himself. "He can't love me or use me anymore." But the noose of revival, the noose of survival, denial, was getting ready to be removed from his soul. He was getting ready to have that burden taken off his shoulders. I read a story recently, and it fits in right here. It was a busy airport. Planes had been canceled and things were not going well. And the attendant had a man come up to her with a red face and he was pounding on the desk. He pushed his way in front of everybody. And he said, "I need to be taken care of." And she said, "I'm sorry, you'll have to go to the end of the line and wait your turn." And he looked at her and said, "Do you know who I am?" And she picked up the loud intercom that went all over the airport and she said, "We have a problem at gate 6. I have a passenger here that does not know who he is. And if anyone can help him, please let me know." And she put it down. He went to the end of the line and got over his importance in a hurry. Peter had gotten over his importance. Even here, Peter at one point is silent. That's another miracle. Peter was never silent. And so here he was silent. And Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" He's asking the same questions to you and to me today. Do we really love him? Not when we're in church, but when we're at work, when we're at home, when we're out in the community. And as Peter stood by the fire, he was remembering that other fire. He wasn't thinking a whole lot what Jesus was saying right here. And he remembered the greatest failure of his life. And he said, "Of course, Lord, I love you." Jesus had used the Greek word agape, which is the love of God for us. And it's hard to understand. And Peter didn't understand it. But he said, "Yes, I love you." Well, he said, "Feed my sheep." And he asked him again and said, "Peter, do you really love me?" And he asked him again in the agape form. And Peter said, "Yes, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep, feed my lambs." And for the third time, which really aggravated Peter, that Christ would ask him three times, he ought to figure it out. I denied him three times. I'm going to have to tell him three times. But he brought it to a Greek word called phileo, which is brotherly love. And Peter understood that. Jesus said, "Are you at least willing to be my brother?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I am." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." The sheep aren't very good to feed sometimes. God doesn't call us sheep by mistake. I grew up on a farm. For each project, I had a herd of sheep. They're the dumbest things in the world, let me tell you. You could have a gate that's 20 feet wide, and if the first one misses the gate, they'll all follow that one sheep. You can't drive sheep. I learned that as a pastor early on. You have to lead them. And so he was saying, "Peter, no matter what the sheep look like, feed the lambs, the children." I'm so glad that this church, Brother Steve, has a family minister, because I think that Satan is attacking the family today. and then he can get closer to the church. So thank you for your wisdom and this church for this wisdom. We've fallen in love with your church, in case you haven't realized by what I'm saying. But he asked Peter again, and he spoke to Peter with courage. He said, don't be afraid. He spoke to him not out of weakness, but he spoke to him out of strength. And he showed him mercy with all kinds of sheep. And he said, follow me. Jesus stands before us today. And he says, are you willing to love me, to do whatever I ask you to do? Sometimes we tell the preacher when he preaches, don't bother me with all that stuff. I'd just rather not do it. I have things I want to do this week, and it's not worry about loving Christ. And we leave here, and we leave Christ inside instead of taking him with us. He said, follow me, I'm the Prince of Peace. And then he reminded Peter, and he reminds us today, last Sunday we celebrated Easter, that he invested in us, he invested in Peter a resurrection. He was saying, Peter, I have resurrected for you. I died on the cross for you. And we need to always remember that. And Peter in one place said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Jesus told Peter at one point to get out of the boat, to launch out in the deep, get out of where he was comfortable, go out into the deep water. And he tells us the same thing. Peter was learning many lessons that day, but he was able to become the rock upon which Jesus would build the church because he answered the question, yes, Lord, I love you. We need to be fishing for men this morning. We need to take a hard look at the cross, look back at last week, and keep that in our minds. And let Jesus, with his tender nail-scarred hands, reach out to us and let us draw close to him as he takes us in his arms and he says, I don't care what you've done. I'm the God of second chances. I want to love you. And do you love me? You see, we're either the cork or the funnel in life. What are you this morning as we come here today? God's power can change our lives as we answer the questions, yes, Lord, I love you. I want to share something with you from my life. And I'm not lifting myself up. Don't ever think that. What you see here is what you get. But I want you to know that as a young man at 18, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I could that day, Brother Steve, gone in with a water pistol and charge hell. I was so excited. And the pastor held me in his arms as I wept and cried. I went on with my life, and in several months, I was in business school, and God said, you're in the wrong place, and I have something I want you to do. I went and talked to my pastor, and he said, it's up to you and God. He would not tell me what I wanted to hear. And I came forward in church and said, yes, God's calling me to serve him. However he asked. And I prayed that morning, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Well, that's easy to say. And I got busy. I dropped out of school. I went to college. And I graduated and I did all these things, went to seminary, did what you were supposed to. And I was from Missouri. And I decided that's where God wanted me to be the rest of my life. Wrong answer. The pastor of the church, and you have to watch pastors of churches, they're sneaky people. And he said, the youth are going on a choir tour, and I can't go along, and I want you to go along with them. I looked at the old school bus, and I thought, he's lying. He just didn't want to get on that bus with all those kids. And I said, okay, I'll go. I was working at a college as dean of students. I thought it was the greatest ministry God had given me. It was in Missouri. And we went to 7 different states. And every night during the invitation, I couldn't hear his voice audibly, but I heard it in my heart. And he said, would you come here? In Arizona, I looked out and there was nothing but cactus around the church. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. In New Mexico, same thing. Colorado looked a little better, but I still said, no, I'm happy where I am, Lord. And the last night, he broke my heart. I went to the altar and I prayed. He said, don't you remember? You told me you'd go where I wanted you to go. And as I prayed, he said, do you really love me? That hurts. And I said, yes, and I prayed again. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Went back home. I thought he just wanted me to say that. We got a letter. We don't know how a church in Grand Junction, Colorado, ever got our name. We still can't figure it out. And they said, after Thanksgiving, we want you to come and look at our church. We're interested in you as our pastor. I thought, I didn't know I was looking for a pastor, Lord. He said, do what I say. We got on Frontier Airlines. That's the only airline that's mentioned in the Bible. It says everything that creepeth upon the earth. I've never been so sick in my life. He didn't miss one air pocket. And Gloria, my wife, said, isn't this fun? And I said, if you say one more word to me, you're going to be really sorry. Give me your bag quick. The Catholic priest behind us gave her another bag. Obviously, he had something I didn't have. We arrived at the airport. They picked us up in a Jeep, of all things, and we bounced all over town. Grand Junction is not a pretty place in the winter. It's a beautiful fruit valley in the summer, but we weren't there yet. And they drove around and they said, this is our church. Isn't it great? We are so excited. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't see a church. And it was a long warehouse building. The sign out front had fallen over. And they said, well, this is our church. We went in. It hadn't been painted since it was built. And on Sunday morning, we had about 25 people, and they were so excited about their church. And that night, they voted unanimously to call me. And God asked me again, do you really love me? I said, I need to go home and pray about this. And what I was saying is, I'm going to go home and pray, but you're never going to see me again. And I went home and I prayed, and I was preaching that Sunday morning in a church, and I told Gloria, I said, it was really cold. Go start the car, and I'll call and tell them no. And I called, and Don picked up the phone, and I said, you know, we would love to come. And I thought, who said that? So I went out to the car trying to be positive, and I said, guess what we get to do? And she said, we're going. I knew this morning. She's the spiritual one in the family. And I said, but how can we do it? We sold a lot of things. We moved to Colorado. The house wasn't ready. We moved in with the church family, two kids. And I thought, Lord, is this really what you wanted? During that time, I got a call, and Gloria, a group of people had run a red light, hit the car, the only car we had. And I couldn't remember anybody's name in the church yet. I hadn't been there long enough. Now, the sheep were really peculiar, but they thought I was worse than they were. The deacons, there was five. Two didn't like the other two, and there was one that was in the middle, and he chose whichever side was winning. And I saw nothing but problems in the church. I saw nothing but difficulties in the church. And off we went. We had somebody come from the state office, and he says, you're not doing very well here, are you? And I said, no. And he said, well, take off your three-piece suit, go buy you a ski jacket and some boots, and that's what you should be preaching in, not a suit. And I did that, and it didn't help a whole lot. And finally, I prayed, and I said, Lord, I told you I'd go wherever you wanted me to go. I did that. Take me home. And he said this, and I'll never forget it. It was his way of saying, do you love me? He said, if you can't be faithful to me here with these people, if you can't feed these weird sheep here, then I'll never use you anywhere else. And I've never forgotten that in all 57 years of ministry. And we stayed several years, and it was the greatest place we'd ever been. I learned to ski downhill. Well, I learned to get down the hill. I learned to go up on a mountain for 10 days and backpack with a group of men who I thought was the craziest people in the world. And I just prayed, Lord, if you get me out of here, I won't ever come back up here again. I don't like the outdoors, if you haven't gathered that by now. But I learned to fit in. I learned to love the sheep. Even the deacon that didn't know where he was going and the other two that didn't like those. We had a come to Jesus party and it worked. But I wouldn't have traded that for anything else. We were just right across the Utah line. And I tell people, God took me to the desert so he could get me to the promised land. And that's what he's doing with Peter. And that's what he wants to do with you and with me this morning. Don't miss that as you hear him say, do you love me? Do you really love me? You have to answer that. Nobody can do it. Your pastor can't do it for you. You have to answer that. Does your family really love him? Is Christ the center of what you do at home? Does your neighborhood really love him? It's up to you. And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, then feed my sheep. And the sheep are glorious. I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. As we learn to come together, as we learn to let our lights in our churches shine so that no one can miss it, and so that we can stand up and let Christ be what he wants to be, Lord of lords, King of kings, the Lord of our lives. What a great opportunity we have. Listen to Peter and look at him, because probably most of us are more like Peter than any other of the disciples. We always have our foot in our mouth, and I still have that problem. But when he takes me aside and says, do you love me? I say, of course you do. Of course I do. And I'll follow you wherever you lead. And that's where your happiness is found, in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning. We do love you. Sometimes we're not very good sheep. And other times we stand in the gap. Help us to love one another. Help us to serve you faithfully. And help us, Father, to be those who say, Lord, you know I love you, and I'll do whatever you ask. I'll feed the sheep. I'll become a fisher of men and of women, of children, of families. But I will serve you faithfully until you call me home. That's our decision that we need to make this morning, Lord, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to have, if you would stand, please, an invitation at this time. Maybe you're looking for a church like Gloria and I have been. This is a place you found, and I would encourage you to let the pastors know that will be here in front. I would encourage you this morning to listen as Jesus says, do you love me? And answer that right where you're standing. You may want to come to the altar and pray, or you may want to come and rededicate your life. You come as the pastors come, and as we sing and turn everything over to Christ.